Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I want to welcome everyone back for another session of Seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we go through the du'as that are mentioned within the Quran and the very powerful stories behind them and how we can connect and reflect, how we can connect to those same du'as and stories and how we can reflect upon these remarkable insights that the Quran gives us when it comes to talking to Allah, seeking from our Lord, and connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, Ustad is going to be enlightening us today with the du'a of, please refresh my memory.
Zakariya.
Yes, the Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam. MashaAllah. Very good, very beautiful. Ustad, take it away and I will share the dua on screen, inshallah, since I am the more tech savvy of the two, inshallah.
You are, mashallah, Sheikh, you are. Your Ramadan duas were answered. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Hope, inshallah, everyone's doing well. Last odd night tonight. So we just started now, a few hours ago, the 29th night. So I know that everybody tends to gear themselves up for the 27th night. Rightfully so. There are definitely some narrations that point to the 27th night having some significant, you know, status even over maybe other, odd nights. But some companions and even some, some scholars and even some companions mentioned that, they preferred maybe thinking that it was the 23rd or the 25th or even the 29th. And one thing in particular is that we're approaching a Friday. Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, exactly. Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your point.
Please. No, go ahead. Bismillah. Go ahead. Sure.
I was just going to say that exactly on the 29th point, there's two extra things that kind of factor into it. Number one is one of the narrations in which specifically the Prophet ﷺ mentions the odd numbered nights. He actually starts in reverse and he says the 29th mm-hmm. or the 27th or the 23rd, actually, kind of jumps to 25th. And so because of that, some scholars of hadith said the Prophet ﷺ mentioning the 29th verse is not a coincidence. And so there's a high probability of the 29th. And then the second point I was just exactly going to say that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala specifically mentioned what you were saying.
Yeah, that one is leading up to it. There's a special, almost like a, I don't know how to phrase it, but a combination. Like when an odd night falls upon the eve of a Friday, which is what we found, that could be an indication in and of itself that there could be something, worth, taking very, very seriously, just because of the extended blessing of that night. And that in and of itself could function as an indication or a sign. So nonetheless, inshallah, every night we work hard on it, every night we try our best. But we thought that obviously tonight being the 29th night, we wanted to, inshallah, do some reflection on Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam. Nothing too long, because honestly, his story, I mean, it's so embedded in so many other stories. But just focusing on sort of the moment in which Zakariya alayhi salam had this this awakening of calling out to Allah from sheer and utter desperation, kind of like a Hail Mary, you know, pass in football, not the prayer, not the Christian prayer, but the pass in football. And it's interesting because subhanAllah, like Zakaria's dua teaches us a lot about never limiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think that's the lesson that I take from Zakaria's dua, is that you can never limit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That sure, there are things that Allah ta'ala created. There are systems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created out of his mercy for us to have maybe predictability, for us to be able to have patterns that we could go by in life and understand and plan and forecast. Those are all things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Otherwise, life might be a little bit chaotic. But Allah ta'ala is not bound by those systems that he created, right? Mm-hmm. He's not restricted by the very systems that he created. And so with Zakaria, actually, there's two things that I want to focus on, and then I'll let Sheikh, talk about. This is actually one of my favorite things to listen to Sheikh talk about. So it's unfortunate that it fell in my, but there are two things that I wanted to point out, and then I'll pass the ball over to Sheikh for him to. And that is that, number one, if you look at Surah Al Imran, and the story with Zakaria actually begins earlier with the birth of Maryam, alayhi salam. Mm. In the sense that that's how Allah Ta'ala begins the passage. Maryam, alayhi salam, obviously someone incredibly, an incredible person, incredibly important in our tradition, a Quranic personality, the likes of which, there are no other people like her. She's so unique. Allah Ta'ala mentions that he chose her and he anointed her, and she was chosen, with such emphasis that it's rare to find somebody like her. So much so that Sheikh Ibn Nasr's first child, his daughter, his eldest, Maryam, he chose that name for her. He and his wife chose that name for her out of homage to this incredible person in the Quran.
I told my wife that we're very lucky that our first child was a daughter. Otherwise, it would have gotten really awkward.
Yeah, exactly. You named your son Maryam.
Yeah, would have ended up that way. So Brother Maryam would have had a pretty hard time.
Brother Maryam would have had a tough life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ayah number 37, Maryam was a very special person. And she was somebody who, from her mother and from her mother and her family's dedication, was somebody who was devoted to maintaining and occupying and taking care of one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the prayer chambers on earth. And actually, when you come with us to Qalam Jerusalem on our trips, inshallah, may Allah ta'ala enable travel safely so that we can go and visit some of the beautiful places on earth that he has given us, the blessed places. When we go for Qalam Jerusalem, we actually visit historically these places, and we see things like the prayer chamber of Maryam, alayhi salam. We see the mihrab of Zakaria, where he made dua. We see all of these things, right? Obviously, they're not existent from that time, but we see the milestones that they're preserved in perspective.
It's called the cenotaph, where basically it's kind of like a monument or a memorial to the event that happened in this vicinity.
Alhamdulillah. So we see that, alhamdulillah. And we see actually that Maryam alayhi salam, she actually, her connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, her devotion, her piety, in ayah number 37, Allah ta'ala says that he accepted her with biqubulin hasanin. He accepted her with like this beautiful acceptance, that Maryam was somebody who was very special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that acceptance was something that transcended like a normal acceptance, so much so that Allah ta'ala granted her these provisions and would give her, by means of sustaining her, these fruits and foods to take care of her. Like literally nobody, she didn't have to go to the grocery store. She didn't have to go to the market. Allah Ta'ala's acceptance of her. Remember, we talked about acceptance. That was the first one that we did. So we said, فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقُبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. That when Allah Ta'ala accepts you, you get hooked up. right? So that's why we make dua for acceptance, which is our first night. We hope that Allah Ta'ala accepts us, or second night, I think it was the second night. Because in that acceptance, in that qubul, in that acceptance of Allah, things start to happen that you don't even expect. So what's happening to Maryam that she's not expecting is that she starts to get these provisions, she starts to get these foods, and some of the scholars of tafsir, they specifically comment and they say that there are some indications even given that these fruit are actually fruit that are not even in season at that time. That when she's given these foods and these fruits, like they're so miraculous that it's not even just a miracle that they're there. That's a miracle enough. You know, if you walked into your room and there was like a sliced up plate of fruit, right? Then it was either one of two things. Either you have a Desi or Arab mother, right, who comes and drops off some sliced up fruit, or it was Allah Ta'ala giving you provision. Jibreel came and dropped off a fruit basket. So we know that with Maryam, she was receiving this provision from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala miraculously. So that's number one. Number two is that the fruit even wasn't from the season, even more miraculous. Like, where are you getting this from? Just adding on to that. So Zachariah, he asks her, and he says to her, where did you get this from? Like, you know, أَنِّي لَكَ هَذَا. Like, what is this, basically? Like, how did you get this? How did you come upon this? And she responds with such conviction and such, you know, subhanAllah, such a attachment to Allah Ta'ala. هَذَا جِئَرَ قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. That this is from Allah. These are things that Allah Ta'ala has given me. That إِنَّ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That Allah Ta'ala will provide for whoever he wants. And that moment, like, it sparks something in Zakaria. Just that phrase, right? That يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That Allah Ta'ala can give whatever he wants to whoever he wants with no checks. There's no one, you know, there's no one verifying what Allah is giving you. Allah Ta'ala is the one who can do that. So Zakaria is inspired, because Zakaria, if you look at the next ayah, instantly it says, "Hunalika da'a Zakaria Rabbahu." Like, instantly at that moment, basically he felt this inspiration to call out to his Lord and say, "What? Oh my Lord, give me a child. Give me a child. Give me a good offspring. Give me a beautiful," right? "Dhurriyatan tayyibatan." Give me a beautiful child. إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. You are the one who hears. You are the one who hears all prayers, all calls upon you. You are the one that hears supplication. So the first lesson that I want to share from this that I think is so powerful is, number one, don't ever underestimate what you speaking about how Allah is so generous. Don't underestimate how much that can inspire somebody that you're close to. If somebody's in a tough situation and they need to hear something good, like, you might be the thing that connects them to praying to Allah. Like, your reminder. Again, we're not talking about boasting. She wasn't bragging. She wasn't saying, like, you know, oh, look at what God gives me. Look at how he treats me. She just was reminding him of a very, very important principle, which he already knew, but she was bringing it to the forefront, which she said, what? Allah Ta'ala provides from wherever he wants with no account. With no one's checking what Allah Ta'ala is giving anybody. It's his. He's generous and he's open and he gives to everybody. So that moment when Maryam did that, Zakaria found something inside of himself that just, he said, you know what? She's right. She's right. And number two, the second lesson just from this moment is that when you look at somebody, you know, when you look at what somebody else has been given, when you look at what somebody else has been given, it's important for you not to develop feelings of jealousy or feelings of, you know, coveting what they want, but rather to call upon the one that gave them what they gave them, that one can give you what you want too. So if you look and see that somebody has something, somebody's been blessed with something, there's no need for a person to develop envy or jealousy. Do you think that Allah Ta'ala's storehouses are empty? Do you think that Allah Ta'ala can't give you one too? You're jealous of somebody having this thing or that thing or whatever. And do you think that Allah Ta'ala, first of all, Allah Ta'ala gave it to them. Do you think he made a mistake? No, of course not. Number two, do you think that he can't give you like it or better than it? All right. So Zakaria here, he's inspired to make dua for something that he wants. He's inspired to make dua for something that he needs. He's not put off by the fact that Maryam has this special relationship. Of course not. Right. He's a prophet. But that's something that we need to also think about, that when you see the blessings, that miracles literally happening in her life, a miracle happening in her life, it's important for us to internalize and say, you know what? The same one that miraculously gave to him or her, that one can give to me. That one can give to me. So then the ayah then continue, or the passage continues, ayah number 39. So the angels called out to him, to Zechariah, while he was standing in prayer, right? وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي. That he's somebody who's standing right there in prayer. فِي الْمِحْرَابِ. And he's still in the space that he called out to. And what's the angel saying? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَا. That he's given you the glad tidings of Yahya, confirming the word that Allah Ta'ala has given, that he will be honorable, he will be somebody that has dignity, and he will be a prophet from amongst the righteous. So what was Zechariah praying for? A child, and instantly, bam, in the next ayah, Allah Ta'ala granted it to him. Then he responds, and he says, how is this the case? How is this the case that I will have this child, and my wife is old, and biologically, remember we talked about systems, biologically, it's not possible. And the angel responds, قَالَ كَذَلِكَ اللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. That's the way it is. Allah can do what he wills. Let's jump now, because ayah number 38, where Zechariah calls upon Allah, this dua, or this quote that we have in the Quran, it's a part of a greater dua that he makes. And I want to go to that part too. So if you go to surah number 19, which is Surah Maryam, and you go to the beginning, in the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this story. What was it that made his dua so special? Because you look at it and you're like, man, that's amazing. He made dua, it was accepted right away. You know, he was given what he wanted right away. Like, the smart person wants to hear exactly what he said, because you want to take notes. You want to be able to know the template. You're like, what is it that, what was it so desperately that he mentioned? And so Allah Ta'ala says, كَاثَا يَعِنْ صَادْ ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. Remember the story, remember the mention, right? This is the mention of what? The rahmah of your Lord to his servant Zechariah. So this is Allah Ta'ala now telling us. It's like watching an ESPN classic, right? It's like watching a greatest moment. Allah Ta'ala is giving us a great moment in the history of humanity. He's saying, look at this moment of mercy. When Allah Ta'ala's servant Zechariah called upon him, Allah is saying, when my servant called upon me, look at my mercy, right? To inspire us. What was the moment? إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. When he called out to his Lord, نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. نِدَاء in Arabic means to call out, and خَفِي means something that is like private, or something that's discreet, you know? And so it's interesting, because the two words, when you look at them literally, they kind of don't mean, they're opposites basically, right? They kind of point to different styles. Nida is referring to a louder call, and khafiyya here is referring to the call being a little bit more discreet and internal. But when you look at this ayah from a, not a literal sense, but from a more emotional sense, everybody here has probably had nida and khafiyya. Everybody in your life, you've probably had that moment where you can't even maybe even get the words out, but your heart just feels like it's going to burst because you're so desperate in that moment, whether it is a health crisis that's affecting your family, whether it is some sort of financial uncertainty, whether it is, you know, some sort of great calamity, some adversity that you were not anticipating, right? You have the important moment in your life, and subhanAllah, what do? You call out to Allah, but you're not loudly calling out to Allah, but your heart feels like it's very well yelling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like calling out as loud as you can, but you're still whispering subhanAllah. So إِذْنَادَ رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ رَأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُنْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. So what does he do? Zechariah here actually, he teaches us something about dua. He actually tells Allah why it wouldn't make sense for him to have a child. He actually verbalizes to Allah like why he's fully expecting not for this not to work. Meaning not the dua, but biologically, why he's expecting this not to happen, right? So he says, oh my Lord, my bones have weakened and my head is, you know, basically it's lit on fire with whiteness. Like I'm old. I'm old. That's what he's saying. He's describing, oh Allah, I'm super old. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّةً. But, oh Allah, I will tell you one thing. I know that I'm getting old, and I know that I'm beyond the age that people typically have children. But I'll tell you one thing, oh Allah, you know what I know more than that? Every time I've made dua for you, you've never let me down. You've never let me down. I've always walked away from my du'as feeling inspired, feeling confident, feeling conviction. And I've always noticed the blessings that I've asked for coming down to me in my life, right? SubhanAllah, this is what he's saying. So he actually gives Allah the biological reason why this should not happen. But then he says, oh Allah, do you, Allah, and I got no worries about biology, right? Who am I to limit you? Who am I to limit you? You created biology, oh Allah. You created the system that I'm telling you won't work. You created it. And then he says, and I fear وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِي مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتْ إِمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا فَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّ. He says, I'm afraid, I'm worried. And this is the reason why he's making this dua. He says that I'm afraid that this legacy that I've been building, this legacy of devotion to Allah, of the institution of carrying on the legacy of prophethood. He says that I'm afraid that if I don't have any successors after me, I don't know what's going to happen to it. And he says, and at the same time that I'm afraid and I want this legacy to carry on, I'm looking at my wife and I realize that she's barren at this point. So, oh Allah, we have no choice but to ask you yourself, مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّ. We have no choice but to ask you directly to give us a child, right? That us trying to do this the traditional way, the normal way, and not realizing that it's going to come directly from you. Everyone knows that their children come from Allah. Everyone knows that. If you ask anybody, where'd your child come from? You say, Allah Ta'ala blessed us with a child. But he's saying like, look, I'm just going to say it straight. We know how this all happens, but oh Allah, we know that for any of that to happen, it's you. We know that for any of that to work, it's you. You know? And so he's making this dua. Then he says, oh Allah, يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبِ وَجَعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيَّ. Give me somebody who can inherit from me, who can inherit from the family of Jacob, and make him, oh my Lord, make him pleasing to you. Make him somebody who's pleasing to you. So then he was told, this is now going back to the other passage, he was told, you have been given what? The glad tidings of a boy who Allah Ta'ala has named. This name was given to him, by the way. Yahya was a name that was granted to him. And he says, we have never assigned anybody this name before. This is like the first time. This is like a new thing. This is a special moment for you. Then he says, my Lord, right? How will it be possible that I can have a child and my wife is barren and I'm old? This is my favorite moment. It's one of my favorite moments because he's like, he just asked for it. He got the response. He's in such shock at Allah Ta'ala's mercy that he's like, wait, hold on. What happened? He's in such shock and he's so overwhelmed emotionally. And what's the response? قَالَ كَذَلِكَ قَالَ كَذَلِكَ قَالَ رَبُّكَ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنٌ. That this is, for your Lord, this is easy. This is easy. وَقَدْ خَلَقْتُكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَمْ تَكُوا شَيْئًا. That we created you before and you were nothing. So you think that this is difficult for me, subhanAllah. And this is the culmination of that dua. The passage continues, and maybe Shaykh wants to talk about that. Maybe he wants to talk about something else. But this is the point that I wanted to point everybody to. When you see the desperation that Zachariah is exhibiting here, it is his motivation is solely fueled by the fact that he realizes the source of all blessings. He is desperate, but he's not more desperate than he recognizes the blessings of Allah, right? He's not hopeless. You see, hopelessness comes from when a person is desperate more than they realize Allah is the source of blessings. Sweet. When I'm hopeless, when I can't, when I get to the point where I say SubhanAllah, and I'm maybe I've given up on something, right? And I have stopped asking Allah, or I never asked Allah in the first place. I've put limitations on Allah before I've realized that He has no limitations. And so here you have Zachariah teaching us something very, very powerful. And realize something too. Sheikh Al-Nasr talked about this on a previous night, that just because we're asking for something, like Zachariah gets exactly what he's asking for. Remember that dua is not a request line for Allah that He has no part in. Remember that. Allah Ta'ala has a part in the process of dua. Meaning, of course, Allah Ta'ala can grant it. Allah Ta'ala can grant you something different. Allah Ta'ala can give it to you at a later time. Or if it's something that's not going to be good for you in this life at all, then Allah Ta'ala will grant you something better than it in the afterlife. Okay, so when I'm making this request to Allah, whatever I'm asking for, I have to have that asterisk in my mind that I'm desperate, I'm calling. But even though I'm desperately calling, oh Allah, I trust you. I trust you to take care of me. I'm asking for this, but really what am I asking for? I'm asking for you just to take care of me. And so Zakariya is asking for this, and he what's he really asking for? He doesn't want a child because he wants a big family that's going to give him more honor and status. He's desperate and he's calling to Allah, oh Allah, give me somebody that can carry on this legacy. Give me somebody that can carry on this legacy of devotion and teaching others about you. And Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala decides that and has ordained that this was good for him in his life, in this life and the next life, so he granted it to him. But that desperation has to be there. If you are struggling in finding that motivation for dua and that desperation in dua, then you have to ask yourself one powerful question, which is, what happens if Allah doesn't give me this? What will happen to me if Allah Ta'ala doesn't give me this? What's at stake? You see Zakariya describing what's at stake. Oh Allah, if I don't have an heir to carry on the work that I'm doing, then what's going to happen after all of this? What's going to happen to all of humanity? What's going to happen to all these people that need a connection to you, that need a teacher and a mentor and a prophet? What's going to happen, oh Allah? And that's where the desperation starts to kick in. But if I find myself making dua casually and maybe the desperation is not there and I don't find myself really emotionally that invested, just ask yourself one question. If I don't get this, what happens to my life? If this doesn't go the way that I need it to, what happens to my life? And that urgency will start to kick in. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us this inspiration, this motivation. And more than anything, we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the conviction that Zakariya had. Amidst desperation, he never lost hope. Very powerful, very beautiful. Sheikh, do you want to give us some thoughts?
Yeah, I was just going to, you know, reiterate some of what you had mentioned, that the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam is always, I always share the beginning verses of chapter 19, Surah 19, Surah Maryam, with people as kind of an ideal layout and format, and not just the layout and the format, but the ideal state of mind and the ideal sentiment that one should bring to the kind of temperament and disposition, spiritual disposition that someone should bring to their dua when they talk to Allah, when they talk to their Lord, when they talk to their Creator. Because what Zakariya alayhi salam is basically illustrating is so beautiful, so powerful. Number one is that he's lived a whole life. And, you know, there are some narrations, and they're what's basically called the Isra'iliyat. They're narrations from the previous scriptures, so we can't necessarily authenticate them. But nonetheless, there are some narrations that mention that him and his wife were 70 plus, 80 plus, 90 plus, nearly 100 years old, the both of them. And they've lived a whole entire life. And he's a prophet of God. And him and his wife was also a very pious, righteous woman. These are very pious, righteous people who were basically the caretakers of the holy sanctuary, Masjid Aqsa, what we call, Bayt al-Muqaddas. And so it's unfathomable that, especially with the sincere, just a sincere yearning that they had for a child, it is unfathomable that they did not previously pray for a child. But the dua not immediately being answered time and time again never discouraged them from asking from Allah in the least bit.
SubhanAllah. See, because you read this and you think, oh, he made dua and he got it. But this is like the last dua in a series of maybe thousands, hundreds of thousands of times.
Absolutely. And oh, so that tells you like how we need to, what our relationship with Allah needs to be like. And then once he comes to the dua, then the vulnerability of Zakariya is the thing that always floors me. Wahana al-'azmu minni literally means my bones are falling apart. I don't want to use a strong word because this is a prophet of God, but it's kind of like what we call like something being very old and decaying.
Yeah, he's like frail. His bones frail. Are frail.
It's just decaying. Like my body's literally falling apart. And when you say washa'ala ra'su shayba, right? Like my head is all white. It's kind of like the father of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And that kind of like always reminds me, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his father was blind, Abu Quhafa. And he had become so old that he's described that his hair was white, his beard was white, his eyebrows were white, even his eyelashes were white. It was like looking at a ghost. Subhanallah, right? Like just very old. To the point when you would see him, it was a little bit kind of startling. Like, subhanallah, how old is that uncle, you know? Mm-hmm. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu never lost faith. Mm-hmm. And 20 years after the day Abu Bakr became Muslim, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was 38 years old, 20 years he kept making dua, oh Allah, make my father a Muslim, oh Allah, make my father a Muslim, oh Allah, make my father a Muslim. 20 years later, when he's white like that, he was already blind. He can barely walk on his own. His father says, take me to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'd like to become Muslim.
Allah.
And he's so old that when he walks in, it's so startling to see him that the Prophet ﷺ gets up. He's in the haram at the Kaaba. He gets up, he stands up, and he said, "Halla tarakta shaykha fil bayt? Why didn't you leave uncle at home? Wa ana atihi? I would go to him." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "No, it was his wish to come to you." And he became Muslim at that moment.
Mm.
Like you can't, you know, it's beyond, you know, predicting, and it's beyond our unfortunately, our very limited expectations. You know, we project our tininess onto the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We make dua on our timeline, not God's timeline.
Ah, subhanAllah. And we think through our kind of paradigm of what's possible, and what's reasonable. But Zakaria's like, you know, his vulnerability. My hair's all white. My bones are falling apart. I'm dying here. Mm. And then, you know, I don't want this to discourage people, but it is powerful because Allah mentions it. Trying to work on our own internal process to become more sincere in our motivations is actually a goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a goal. It's okay if we're not there right now, but it is a goal that we got to become more sincere in our motivations. Zakaria says, and maybe that's why it took an entire lifetime, was that he's finally at the point where he says, none of my asking you for a child, my asking you for a child has nothing to do with it, has absolutely nothing to do with how I emotionally and personally feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yadithuni wa yadithu min Ali Yaqub. I just want someone who can carry on the message, who can carry on the work of God, who can carry on the good work that I'm doing. I just need someone to do that for me.
So like the intention here is what expedited it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you see the dua being answered, and it's, subhanAllah, it's so amazing. Even after all this time and everything, you still see a little bit of surprise that Zakaria has. Like, really? And that just, you know, and that just tells you, you know, how remarkable and how generous and how kind Allah is, that you could be a prophet of God and the mercy of Allah would still surprise you.
SubhanAllah.
Like, you could be a prophet of God, you receive revelation, you talk to God, you conduct miracles by the permission of Allah, and you will still be surprised by the mercy of Allah.
Mm.
It's unbelievable. And one of the things that, you know, the things that I kind of wanted to mention here is when you go a little bit further into when Allah answers his prayer, Zakaria then says, قَالَ رَبِّ جَعَلِي آيَا, Allah, give me a sign that I can, you know, kind of hope and that I can kind of look forward to and anticipate the arrival of this great blessing. And he says the sign is that you won't be able to talk to people for 3 days and nights consecutively. And then when he goes out, because he was the imam of his people, so when he goes out to lead the prayers, and they're kind of wondering why he's not like being verbal, he just kind of gestures to them, you know, make dua, pray. He just tells them it's time for prayer. He just gestures to them for prayer. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of the mufassirin, the scholars of the Quran, have explored the wisdom within this, and it you know, some of the things that they share is that when Allah tells him that the sign will be that you won't be able to talk to the people for 3 days, it is kind of a reminder that sometimes you just have to kind of block out and you have to kind of cut out the noise a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, and right now. Yeah.
And the same thing happened to Maryam, right? The same moment, basically, or the same sign.
Yeah. Right? You know, it's been all of Ramadan. We're reading Quran, we're praying, we're fasting, and we're sitting here tonight talking about dua, and you kind of feel like you're in the zone and in the moment. And sometimes, you know, just the noise and everything that's out there can sometimes kind of dishearten you or discourage you or kind of damper a little bit of that moment of connection that you're having with Allah. So sometimes you just got to block out the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just got to say, I'm only going to talk to Allah right now.
Yeah, focus.
I'm going to focus on Allah. I'm only going to talk to Allah. And that's why he basically just goes out and he just prays. That sometimes you just got to capitalize on that moment that you're connected to Allah and just not let go, and you just got to stay connected.
Another thing that I think is important for everybody as well is, like, desperation in dua cannot be expressed in a crowd.
Mm.
You know, like, a lot of times we wait for either, whether it's like a community dua or we are amongst a group of people. But if you look at all the great moments that we've been highlighting, they've all been when these people are alone.
Subhanallah.
Right? When you look, for example, you look at Yunus is in the belly of the whale. You know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in, you know, he's not necessarily making dua explicitly, but he's when he's in Ghari Hira at Tahannuth, he's reflecting, he's thinking, he's yearning, right? He's by himself. Zakariya is in his mihrab by himself. And you have all these, it's all when you're alone, you know?
So,
there's an interesting sort of emotional state, a sincere state that you can tap into only when you're by yourself. You know, and so a lot of times people, we felt like, okay, maybe Ramadan is going to be a little bit different this year. I'm not going to be as social. I'm not going to see my friends. I'm not going to be able to make dua. You know, oh my God, what am I going to do if I don't have the khatam dua or the dua at the masjid, this and that? You know, even if your dua is shorter, and even if your dua is not as, poetic, and it doesn't rhyme, and it doesn't, you know, and even if, but if your dua means something to you, and you're by yourself in the corner of your bedroom or on the prayer rug in your hallway or in your living room and the lights are dim and no one knows you're there except for Allah, you know, everyone asks, what dua can I make that's accepted on Laylatul Qadr? And beside the one that the Prophet ﷺ gave us, I mean, what other dua would you advise for people other than one that comes from the heart?
That's right.
That's just you by yourself. And all of these moments of miracles, of greatness, happen when these people were by themselves. Right? And so it's important when you want to make dua, and just like Sheikh said, cut out all the noise. Distractions, we have to get rid of them. You know, sometimes distractions can deflect us away from the path that we're supposed to go on. We have to get rid of those distractions. Alhamdulillah, man. I think this is exactly what I needed to hear tonight, you know, this night before we start making dua, inshallah. Sheikh, any parting words?
No, just, I just want to encourage everyone because, you know, it's just the nature of even when under normal circumstances, the 27th night is just such a huge kind of colossal event in the Muslim community. And then, you know, whatever little bit of kind of like more grandiose kind of event is usually on the 29th or so, the Khatm Qur'ans and many of the Masajid and things like that. And then there's just that very natural kind of, the very natural kind of drop off that comes, and it's only natural. So, but I want to encourage myself, and I want to remind everybody that, you know, let's not let up in these final moments. You know, all the great ones do it in the last moments, right? Mm-hmm. They're the ones who play the whole 48 minutes. You know, so let's make sure that we follow through all the way to the absolute finish line, inshallah.
Yeah, there's a statement of Ibn Taymiyyah where he said that, you know, in al-ibrat laysat fil what is it? Fil naqs al-bidayat walakin fi kamal al-nihayat, right? That, you know, the true moments of realization, the realizations that you want to have, they don't lie in perfecting your beginning, right? If a person has deficiencies in the beginning, it's almost like that's expected. But rather, he said, if you can complete your ending,
so,
you know, إنما الأعمال بالخواتيم, right? That actions are by their ending. So finishing strong is a sign of acceptance. So we have to, inshallah, make sure that we give it what we got for the next two nights at least, inshallah. And yeah, ABAS, game winners, exactly. Barakallahu feek, Sheikh.
I don't want to make light of the moment, but I kind of know a little bit about that.
Sheikh does. I have to tell everybody, I think Sheikh has hit more game winners in his career than Michael Jordan himself. MashaAllah. So hopefully another game winner tonight.
But I also have like the workshop percentage of all time.
Well, I didn't want to bring that up, Sheikh. You know, whoever hides the faults of others in this life, Allah. JazakAllah khair. Everybody, I hope, inshallah, you benefited. And as you're making dua, you know, slip one in for us tonight, inshallah. Just 10 seconds. Just make dua for, you know, your friends, your family, of course, your community. And we would really appreciate it if you could make dua for us and our families and the work that we're doing here at Qadam and at Roots, and that Allah Ta'ala keeps blessing us to be able to serve you. It's quite literally probably the most noble and the highlight of our lives, being able to serve you the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if you can make dua for us, we'd really appreciate it.
And, tomorrow, inshallah, tomorrow night, starting at 9:30 p.m. Central Time, it's going to be a really special kind of session of the Quran recitation and reflections, because we're going to be going through the 30th juz, and at the conclusion of that, we're going to have the dua for the completion of the Quran. So we invite everyone to, inshallah, come join us for that very, very powerful moment, inshallah.
Inshallah. God bless you, everybody. Take care, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.